The solemnity of Christ the King concludes the normal sequence of Sundays. Next Sunday is the beginning of Advent. It was in the 30s that Pope Pius XI instituted this feast to inculcate in society a greater awareness of Christ and Christian living. The notion of Christ as King ought not to be confused with any monarch of the world, for the kingship of Christ is quite distinct. Looking at the readings from Daniel, we note that the kingship is eternal. His sovereignty will never pass away. For the Lord is King, is robed in glory, majesty. And of course, this text from St. John, Christ before the politician Pilate, affirms that, yes, I am a king. I was born to be a king. I came into the world as a king. And when I bear witness to the truth, in other words, when I die, my kingship shall be established. And all who are on the side of truth will listen to my voice. Which implies that there are those who are not on the side of truth, who do not live in the light, but in darkness, the darkness of deceit, because they choose not to listen to Christ and his truth. The truth of Christ ought not to be confused with our appreciation of true. What is true, what is not true. If I said to you that Sydney is the capital city of Victoria, you would say, well, Father, that is your opinion, but you're wrong. Sydney is the capital city of New South Wales. That's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's a fact. 2 + 2 = 4 is a fact. These are truths. See, opinions may be correct, they may not be correct. Because you have an opinion doesn't make it truthful. Facts are truthful. Because what you think and what actually is the same. When we begin our life, we assimilate truths daily in science, in nature, geography, biology, and in our faith. And we distinguish them from opinion because we have a certitude regarding truths and facts. You know, the laws of gravity are a fact. We acknowledge them for what they are. And like bricks in a wall, we build up an edifice of biology or maths by learning more and more truths. Well, in a similar way, we do that with our faith. But don't confuse Christ with that. Because although we possess truths, although we can increase our knowledge of truths, Christ isn't just another brick in the wall. Because he never said, I have truth. He said, I am the truth. He is the truth. In possessing him, we possess everything. And on this Sunday, we acknowledge his role as King. The King of Kings. I've put on the bulletin the explanation of the acronym above the cross. His title, I-N-R-I. He's the King. King of our hearts. The church is a kingdom. We become royal subjects at baptism and begin our journey home to that celestial kingdom. So we now know what the kingdom is like. We know when we begin, where we're going. We know why, so that Christ the main may reign in our hearts. But how? How did this come to pass? What's the agent, the instrumental agent that brings all this into effect? And that is grace. It's called the reign, R-E-I-G-N, which means the power of divine grace to transform hearts. That's what makes us members of God's family. That's what makes us actual and real in his kingdom. And unless we have that sanctifying grace in our souls at death, we cannot partake of eternal life with God. Heaven's not ours, because we won't fit. Like a square peg doesn't go into a round hole. If we don't have grace in our soul at death, we have nothing in common with God. We just don't connect. God doesn't see us in him. We don't see ourselves in God. So grace is the unifying reality within the kingship of Christ. It's his reign in our hearts. And we receive that at baptism, and it journeys with us. We can lose it through a deliberate mortal sin, but then regain it through seeking forgiveness and healing. And this domain in which we dwell with grace in our soul can be increased by God's presence. And now and again we see in history people who have received extraordinary instantaneous graces that have transformed their lives. We all know about Saul, who was persecuting and killing Christians, that Jesus on the way to Damascus converted in an instant and became the great missionary St. Paul. Well, in more recent times, there was a person born 100 years ago this year who died back in 95, who also had an encounter with Christ and received the reign, the presence, the power, the grace of Christ in a rather unique manner. His name is Andrew Frossard, or in French, André Frossard. His family was of Jewish extraction. His father was a member of the Communist Party in Paris, and the home was completely and utterly devoid of religion. They were proud atheists. And that's how André grew up, with contempt for God and religion. Anyway, at the age of 20, he was a journalist, and being impatient for his friend, though going out on a Sunday evening, he went in search of his mate because he was a Catholic and he was attending evening vespers or prayers. At any rate, there was exposition of the Blessed Sacrament in the church. Now, André Frossard didn't know that. He was just impatient, wanting to get going for the evening. So he goes into the church to search for his friend. And he has no idea he was in a Catholic church. He looks above the heads of the people and sees incense around the high altar, the candles burning, and he obviously sees the monstrance with the consecrated host for exposition on the altar. Now, he doesn't know what these things are called. He doesn't need to know. Because when he walked into the church, God encountered him in an extraordinary way. He relates later in his book, God Exists, I've Met Him, that he saw in a vision the splendor of heaven and multiple souls all in love giving to each other, drawing from the Lamb of God, the source of all life. He says it is filled with light and brightness that gave such delight to my soul. He says, I understood everything then. I understand what God wants of me and his plan for me. He left the church that night, convinced that he had to become a Christian. Didn't leave the church thinking, oh, I better become a Muslim or a Baptist. No, he left beginning with a beginning of faith in the church, in the Catholic church, which is the fullness of truth. Later on, he'd be baptized. But that moment was an extraordinary gift given to him that would last throughout his life. He went home that night and said to his father, "Dad, I'm thinking of becoming a Christian." His father put down the paper and said, "Son, no Christians live in this house." On that day, he lost the father on earth but gained a father in heaven. Time would pass and André Frossard, now baptized as a Catholic, would enter the French resistance during the Second World War. And some interesting tales are told about his escapades then. Later, he'd become a journalist and spent the rest of his life as a journalist and writing books, wrote multiple books, and met on several occasions John Paul II, and wrote even a book about him. He died in 1995 in Paris, and was giving talks right up to the latter part of his life, still drawing upon that encounter, that experience, when he met God. He saw the big picture in the next life. You see, we don't see all this. We don't see grace. We don't see UV rays, but they exist. Spend enough time outdoors, you'll feel the effects of the UV rays. Spend enough time in prayer, you'll feel the effects of God's grace in your soul. Let's not doubt his presence, but pray for his rain. Pray for that grace to permeate our souls. And pray on this day too for members of our families who, although they belong to God's kingdom, have perhaps lapsed and are lost, that they may come out of the darkness into the light and bear witness, like Christ, to the truth. Praise be Jesus Christ.